This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Cameras that track vehicle license plates as they enter and exit neighborhoods are the latest in neighborhood watch technology. But these security cameras begin to gain footing, and as they do with homeowners associations across North Carolina, they're setting off alarms of a different kind. Privacy experts and civil liberties advocates warn that the misuse of cameras could result in an Orwellian future. It's an issue Tyler Dukes has reported on recently. He's an investigative reporter at WRAL, and he joins me now to talk more about this. Welcome back, Tyler.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us about Flock cameras. What are they?
So Flock Safety is a company out of Atlanta, and their mission is essentially to reduce property crimes. And so one of the things they're pitching, mostly to homeowners associations, but also to other sort of neighborhood management organizations, is these cameras that set up at the entrances and exits of the neighborhood and track vehicles coming in and out. And the idea is that if there is a crime in the community, say a car break-in or somebody, you know, breaks into your house, that they can then go in and grab this imagery to see who's been coming in and out and share that evidence with police.
Now, that suggested works better in kind of suburban subdivisions than anywhere else. Where are these things used?
Yeah, I mean, normally this is their target market is neighborhoods, yeah, ones that have right. sort of controlled entrances. But the really important thing to remember, at least from their point of view, is that they're looking to have these cameras set up watching public streets, not private streets.
All right, and how does it work? How does the technology work?
So these cameras actually are pretty small. They look like trail cameras if you've ever been hunting or if you ever set one up in your backyard to catch wildlife. And they essentially are motion activated, and when something enters the frame, it snaps a picture. And there's a machine learning algorithm on the back end that tries to glean some intelligence from that picture. So it tries to read the license plate, the color, the make, the model of the car. All of that then goes into, along with a timestamp, into a database that the HOA then owns and manages.
Yeah, talk more about the ownership and who controls this database.
Yeah, so this is really interesting. So part of the fundamental agreement that Flock makes with these neighborhoods is that the HOAs own the data. They can also grant access to that data to essentially anybody they'd like, and that may be limited just to the HOA president or somebody in charge of security. Or they could open it up to the broader community for access in the case of investigating crimes.
Now, we'll talk in a second about that broader community, which would include the police. But before we do that, what does the law say about taking pictures and owning pictures in public places?
Yeah, I mean, essentially the First Amendment allows us the ability to go in and, capture imagery of public spaces. It's the same sort of law that allows, you know, cameras from WRAL on the sidewalk to, you know, capture the scene of a crime or, you know, police doing, you know, police activity mm-hmm. on a scene. So really there's nothing that can really prevent these cameras from being set up specifically if they're being done by, on private property, watching public areas.
All right. And now the real question comes when the HOA then would have the ability to, because it owns it, give it to anybody it wants, including local police.
Exactly. And in fact, in Durham, we know these cameras are operating in both Raleigh and in Durham, but Durham police actually have an agreement with Flock to be able to access this data for the purposes of investigations. And they can do that automatically. They don't have to go to the HOA first in order to request that. And this is a model that we've seen with other kinds of security devices like Ring doorbell cameras. This is a very similar type of technique they're using to sort of partner with police to make their product more attractive.
Well, this is very interesting because you've got the police partnering with a private company to take the data that's nominally owned by somebody else, the HOA. And the police do have very serious rules around the kinds of data they can collect, right?
In fact, yeah. And this has been a debate in North Carolina. Automated license plate readers are not allowed along state and highways and roads. And lawmakers, in fact, defeated a measure to remove that restriction, and they largely cited privacy concerns. So, you know, civil liberties advocates are looking at this and saying, you know, this looks to be an end run around some of those restrictions.
All right. But what about these restrictions? Because I know you talked with civil liberties advocates, the ACLU. You talked with Irving Joyner at North Carolina Central, law professor who is intimately involved and concerned about matters of civil liberties. What do they say about this?
So there's really a spectrum. You know, you talk to Professor Joyner, you talk to the ACLU. There's an understanding that, this First Amendment right to be able to get out and take these images. But there is a concern both when you've got a public-private interaction, the police and these HOAs, and then you also have concern about what happens when these cameras really start to proliferate. It really creates in their mind the potential of being able to track people across multiple neighborhoods and sort of create a pattern of movement that can be far more invasive than just a picture of somebody on the street.
Well, what about their sense that there's an end run already, that police are prohibited by themselves from setting up these cameras, but if they, you know, have an agreement with the company, somehow they have access to the data? Are they worried about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the concern when you privatize some of this functionality is that it increases the risk of abuse. Now, I will say Durham Police have put their own rules in place to allow them to navigate this with privacy in mind. So, you know, that's one of the things they talk to us about. But that is absolutely the concern of some of these civil libertarians who are looking at this and saying that this really creates some danger down the road.
But interestingly enough, we talked to people from the ACLU. They said they can understand why these cameras and how they could be in use, but there really needs to be more thought and perhaps more rulemaking around the use of, first of all, the cameras, the placement of the cameras, but ultimately the use of the data.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a really attractive sell. You know, if your car was broken into and you have the potential to have gathered some evidence that can lead to, you know, catching somebody for, you know, committing that crime, that can be a very attractive proposition. But the concern on the other end is what happens, what's the worst case scenario? And the worst case scenario might be, you know, somebody using this technology to stalk or harass neighbors. And, you know, really, if we talk about the wider abuses, like the potential for police to misuse this data down the road, that really does have people concerned.
There are a few prohibitions and I suppose limitations placed on the technology already. For instance, HOAs can't download wholesale all of the data. Is that right?
Exactly. So Flock itself, as they say, they've built this product with privacy in mind. So it deletes the footage every 30 days. And essentially what happens is you're only able to look up specific incidents. You're able to download imagery and data one by one. So that, in their mind, prevents the ability to sort of have this constant ongoing monitoring just for the purposes of being interested in what your neighbors are doing.
Right. But obviously there's ways around that. And so that's a deep concern. So how widespread are these already in North Carolina?
So in North Carolina, this is really early days. So in Raleigh specifically, there are 5 neighborhoods using these cameras. We actually don't know where those are because the company won't tell us. In Durham, there were originally 4 neighborhoods. That is now down to 3. So we're really only talking about a handful of these devices. But, you know, when you talk to Flock, they are really looking at expanding their market from state to state, starting in Georgia, looking at markets like North Carolina, California, there, and they are trying to expand fast.
Do we have any useful data on just how effective they are in crime, if not prevention, at least detection?
Yeah, so Durham Police have been under this agreement with the company for about 6 or 7 months now. They signed it in 2019. They've actually looked into this data for 11 different incidents, and they found nothing so far that has helped them solve any crimes.
You talked about 4 neighborhoods down to 3. That suggests that perhaps maybe neighbors themselves aren't terribly wild about this idea in some cases.
It's a real mix. The one neighborhood that removed the cameras wouldn't really elaborate with me about exactly why they did so. I did talk to several residents of the Durham Brightleaf community, which uses a bunch of these cameras, the many entrances and exits. And, you know, largely when you talk to residents, what they say is, you know, I kind of expect that I'm on somebody's camera all the time anyway. So they don't really have as much of a problem with it as some might. But there are some residents who have concerns and have, in fact, contacted me after the story has run, sort of thankful that we've put some of this additional information out there.
Well, and this is part of a larger concern about machine learning and surveillance technology in widespread use. New York Times reporting on the Clearview, how Clearview was obtaining photos using facial recognition technology, right?
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, we found that the Raleigh Police Department was using that technology. And this is a facial recognition application that built a database on 3 billion photos, our photos, on social media and the rest of the internet that were collected in the eyes of many internet tech giants against their own rules.
So right now, there's nothing to prohibit this. We'll get back now to Flock, which is not the same thing. We were just talking about facial recognition. We'll get back to the license plates and Flock. No law against it right now.
Essentially, no. Yeah, I mean, this is really as one person I talked to at Flock is a bit of wild, wild west out there.
But interestingly enough, I mean, you think about taking this tracking technology and facial recognition, and there's nothing to stop us from merging that. I mean, technically, that's right on the horizon, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is technology that has become cheaper and easier to use. We're seeing it get better and better. And even with these automated license plate readers, you can build one of these yourself for $50 to $75 if you really want to. It doesn't take a whole lot of aptitude. And so these companies are really seeing the ability to sell some of these security ideas to neighborhoods, to individuals, because the technology is accessible and cheap. And so we're only going to see that intensify as we also see some of these questions about the privacy implications intensify.
Tyler Dukes is an investigative reporter with the WRAL. You can see links to his reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Tyler, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Stay with us on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.